Take a walk after dinner some evening in Perpignan, and this is the sort of music you might hear in the streets around you. Perpignan is a town on the Mediterranean coast of France, at the foot of the Pyrenees, close to the border with Spain. It's Catalan country, far from the glitter of Cannes and the Riviera. Perpignan is home to a community of gypsies, and has been for 500 years. Writer Fernanda Eberstadt got to know some of them, especially the families who made music together under the name Takamali. That's their music we're hearing now. She tells us their story in a book called Little Money Street, In Search of Gypsies and Their Music in the South of France. Steve Paulson wondered if, after 500 years in this community, the gypsies consider themselves French.
No, they absolutely don't. And in fact, despite 500 years in France, their kind of polite word for non-gypsy is French.
And what do the French think of the gypsies?
French are terrified. I mean, I'm exaggerating slightly, but the gypsies there, you know, as elsewhere, have a reputation for being pretty lawless, you know, dealing drugs, stealing. Some of it deserved, lots of it undeserved. So there's absolutely no exchange between the two communities, except sort of via truant officers, social services, welfare, doctors a bit.
So what's daily life for these gypsies like?
They sleep pretty late. For the men, you know, they hang out in a bar, play cards, drive around a lot. The big passion around there is cockfighting. So every weekend there's a cockfight. They tend to go. The religious ones, which is most of them, go to the, what they call the Assemblée, the Pentecostalist church, a couple of times a week. And the women housekeep. The women clean and clean and clean and clean and look after the kids and don't get to have quite so much fun, mostly.
Well, you put it in your book a lot more bluntly than that, women are definitely second-class citizens.
Oh, yes, or, you know, 10th class. Yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough. They don't even seem to get, you know, they don't even get that much credit as kind of, you know, mother of the children. They really, really have a hard time. Some gypsies have told me that they have a worse time than their mothers, their grandmothers, that there's the crackdown's kind of worse than it was, that as the temptations have opened up, there's more pressure on them to marry young, so the marriage age, especially for gypsy girls, is really going down. They get married at 14, their grandmothers got married at 20, because, you know, there's just too much chance of meeting boys and ruining your reputation.
And there's a great premium on a girl being a virgin, right?
Yeah, more than a premium. You're out in the street if you're not. The marriage ceremony for a gypsy wedding begins and rests on this old lady who's this sort of assigned virginity tester. She sort of tests the girl to make sure she's a virgin while the girl's in-laws are watching. And, you know, if not, she's, you know, the wedding's called off. Everybody departs. It's a big scandal.
So what about the men? Are they out working?
Funny thing about gypsy culture, about this aspect that I saw, is it's quite hard work maintaining your reputation for being a gypsy. And one woman told me, you know, gypsy can't show up to a job, you know, or gypsies don't have alarm clocks. You can't, you know, you're not supposed to, it's kind of demeaning to show up at some regular job. That what gypsies in that community are supposed to do is buy and sell. You know, you work the markets. There are a lot of musicians, so a lot of the men are singers. So they sort of travel, they do concerts around Europe the way the other guys work the markets. You know, they buy and sell. 50 years ago, they were horse traders, and some of them still are a little bit, but mostly it's sports clothes, radios, electronics, you know, working the markets, the street markets, you know, around France.
Can they make enough money to support a family doing this?
They can make a bit, and then there's, you know, really strong social benefits. So they're not the only people in France who live off welfare, and there definitely isn't the same stigma in France that there is in the U.S. There's a very generous, very reliable array of welfare benefits that people under a certain income can get. That's the gypsy staple, and that sort of meant that gypsies don't have the same kind of slightly predatory attitude towards non-gypsies that they had a reputation for having.
Now, you said that music is everywhere among the gypsies you got to know, and you got to know some really good musicians as well. What kind of music is it?
It's incredibly beautiful music. It's very different from Eastern European gypsy music. The music that the gypsies of Perpignan make is kind of an offshoot of flamenco. It's called gypsy rumba. and it's a hybrid of Latin American, Cuban sound, and Spanish-style flamenco. Plus, it's religious-based. If you listen to these gypsy singers, it sounds quite Arab, you know, a lot of wailing, broken voices, a kind of lament. It's very, very intense.
Padre nuestro, tú que estás en los cielos, tan piedad que morir para nosotros. Gloria a ti.
So where does the religion fit into it?
Ah, the religion fits into it because these were songs that are called cantica. They're hymns. They're things that were sung in church. So they're asking for God's forgiveness.
Now, you said a lot of these gypsies of Perpignan are Pentecostals. So there's a lot of talk about God and appeals to God?
A lot of talk about it. And, I mean, hanging out, a lot of talk about God's grace, God's will, Jesus, love of God, doing the right thing, being righteous. They traditionally are very, very open-handed, very generous, very big on hospitality, on welcoming in everybody and looking after people who are in trouble. So the religious element has kind of accentuated that. In my friend Deanne's house, she'd, you know, there would always be someone who had, you know, lost a husband or was sick or had no money. So it was very, very much open house and looking out for people who were poor or in trouble.
Now, what role does the music play in their lives? Because my sense is that it's a lot more present. It's a lot more important than it is for most people.
It's omnipresent. This lead singer, Moise, told me this gypsy saying that a gypsy baby's born singing, not crying. A song is everywhere. You know, there's always a couple of guitars. People are always playing, always singing, always listening. A lot of dancing, too. So there's a very, very festive atmosphere. Older friends of mine say it's declined a bit, and that kind of recorded music has been driving out the live music. But even in my experience, kind of after a meal, people tend to sing and play and spend a long time kind of listening to each other, drawing out each other's voices.
Now, this music, their music is so vibrant, and yet it's curious that not that much has been recorded. Now, I would think that record companies would jump at the chance to put out this kind of music.
Oh, yeah. It's so catchy. The beats are so varied. Well, Tecumelli had a contract with Sony. Sony put out a great, great album of theirs. But the gypsies that I know are not very interested in an outside career. They want respect in the community. They're very, very interested in their own sort of reputation, their own standing within their families, within the community, but outside they've got no interest in what anybody thinks of them. So a kind of traditional career.
That's interesting. So they wouldn't want to be big stars in France or to go tour in the United States? Any appeal.
The worst. It would be horrible. I mean, these guys have toured. They've been to Australia. They've been to Eastern Europe. They've done Canada. They've been all over the place and they hate it. They consider it a horrible, horrible punishment. They hate taking airplanes. They hate being away from home. They don't like the food. And they consider non-gypsies these kind of unpleasant, scary extraterrestrials that they don't want to have much to do with. What counts for them is being at home among their own, and they don't care. I mean, the money's fine, but they would just as soon live off government benefits as get money for their records.
Music of Tecumelli. Fernanda Eberstadt is the author of a book called Little Money Street. Steve Paulson spoke with her.